of Israel, and little by little by little, God is moving the enemies of Israel into place to fulfill his prophecies. And one of the prophecies that is very bold and very highlighted in the Word of God is the prophecy in the book of Joel, chapter 3. Our sweet, loving Lord Jesus, whose name is Salvation, Yeshua, has gone to prepare a place for us, and you know that. And when Jesus died on the cross, he eventually ascended to the Father, and he said, as I go to prepare a place for you. And indeed, that's exactly where he is right now. He suffered for us, and like parents who suffer for their children, he loved us and wooed us. And in his long and patient history with us, his forever family, he has walked through our shame, just like many times we walk through our children's shame with them. He experienced the humiliation of our rejections many times. And he has fought valiantly against our enemies. And he has even suffered a divorce, according to Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 8, when he was divorced from his beloved Israel. But yet, Jesus still loves us, in spite of all that. It is not because we in the human race are very lovable. It's because he is faithful and he is lovable and the perfect lover of our souls. He gifted us with his stamp of his own image. And when God made us, he said he made us in the image of God. And he gave us a lovely world to live in. Isn't this a beautiful planet? How often are you thankful for it? And God has given us these graces. He taught us the truth. When I say truth, I mean with a capital T. He has given us so many wonderful gifts. And he's walked through our humiliations with us many times. And when he had done all to draw us to his life, and it was found that even then we had other lovers, he continued to send his love letters anyway. And he continued to send us seasons of blessing anyway. And when we proved determined to hurl ourselves into the spiral of hopelessness, he rescued us again by taking on all of our shame and all of our guilt and packing all of our shame and all of our sin into his own body and into his own pure heart, and he offered his body and his heart on the cross for us so that we could be pure and acceptable unto God. That act of sacrifice propitiated justice. It satisfied God's righteous demand against sin. And his death effectively paid for all of our sin debts. He took his robe of righteousness and he put it around us, even though we had no righteousness of our own. And now he can accompany us into our eternal home that he's preparing for us. And we are his washed bride, and he will show us to the Father with pride. Can you imagine that? And when we arrive with him into our new home place that he's preparing for us, he's going to throw a big banquet. The name of that event is called the Marriage Supper of the Lamb, and it's talked about in the book of Revelation. And it will be as though we had never sinned, and it's going to be like we had never shamed and had shame in our lives. We will love him faithfully at last. But before all that can happen, we have to see what the Bible says in Joel chapter 3. Because Joel chapter 3 tells us what happens before that day. And that's our subject this morning. Jesus is going to save Israel after we are raptured off the earth. And if you haven't heard the news, the church, all those who have been born again are going to be caught up in glory when the Lord comes back and raptures out or takes off the earth the children of God, the body of Christ. Now, this is commonly taught in the Bible. Now, what's going to happen is at the same time at the Kidron Valley, just outside the Eastern Gate in Jerusalem, and some of you have seen that, by the way, if you went with me to Israel, do you remember when we were standing on the Mount of Olives and we looked over this deep valley and we looked over into the city of Jerusalem and we could see the walled city and the Eastern Gate? But that valley that we looked beyond is called the Valley of Jehoshaphat, or today it's commonly known as the Kidron Valley. Well, that is exactly what's talked about in Joel chapter 3. Jesus is going to judge all the Gentile nations from that position. Because it says in the scriptures, in those days and at that time, he will restore wayward Israel to her land in Israel. Notice what it says on the screen. In those days and at that time, what time? When the church is raptured out, then on earth starts the tribulation period. And during the tribulation period is what Joel is talking about here. In those days, in the tribulation days, at that time, when I restore the fortunes of Judah and Jerusalem. So he tells us when the time is that he's talking about, and it's during the tribulation period. This will be when God has gathered the Jews from around the world, just as he promises that he would do. And he has been doing that, by the way, and you're quite aware of that. Because in 1948, the nation of Israel, after 2,000 years, has come into being again, miraculously. But God did it. And God has been calling the Jews back to the land of Israel all these years in my lifetime. And Jesus made this declaration in Matthew chapter 24, verse 31. The regathering will be completed when the tribulation period comes after the church has been taken up to be with the Lord. But during that time, the demonized armies of the Gentile nations are going to geographically come down out of the north and come down into the land of Israel. And just as God fought for Israel in Jericho thousands of years ago, when he said to Joshua, "Joshua, take the people and march around the city seven times and I will fight for you." Not one Israelite drew a sword. But God defeated all the enemies of God. And just as God defeated all the enemies of God and the walls fell down by God's power alone, exactly the same thing is going to happen in our future in the tribulation period that Joel is talking about in these verses. And then the Gentile nations of the world will be gathered as defendants in the tribunal of God. Where will that tribunal take place? Well, in the Kidron Valley that I just mentioned to you, on the west side of the wall of Jerusalem. In that place, as a matter of fact, I had a picture printed in your pullout sheet, in your message notes, so that you could see the Kidron Valley, because that picture is taken from the position of the Mount of Olives, looking over the deep valley and over to see the wall of Jerusalem. Joel says that when Jesus comes and he judges the Gentile nations, that he is going to set up his tribunal at that place. You may have seen the videos if you were not alive and if you did not see TV at the time. But when the Nuremberg trials took place, when the Nazis were judged in the world for what they did to the Jewish people, and it was telecast all around the world. There was a judgment upon those people who slaughtered the Jews. Well, exactly the same thing is going to happen again, except Jesus himself is going to be the judge, and he's going to be working from the Valley of Kedron, which is Jehoshaphat, the valley of Jehoshaphat. And that will be the tribunal of God, and the defendants will be all the nations, all the peoples of the earth who have hated the Jews. And he is going to curse those who cursed Israel, just like he promised he would. And Jesus, the great judge, is going to hold court there. And the defendants will be those who have just brought the armies down from the north to destroy Israel. Now, in our lifetime, yet ahead, we will be with the Lord. But during that time, immediately after the time that the Lord takes us home to be with him, these armies are going to literally come down out of the north. I don't know what countries they are, but we do know from the scripture from Ezekiel chapter 37 and 38 and 39 that these armies are going to come down out of the north. And Jesus is going to come to the rescue. The mighty prosecutor and judge, Jesus, will issue justice against the Gentile nations of the world who have been abusing the Jewish people. Because listen to this. The Jews abandoned God, but God never abandoned the Jews. He has always loved them, and he still loves them, and he's still going to defend them. Now, what is practical for us today from this teaching? What is practical? Well, it is this. You may think that people get away without God's judgment, but God never ignores any sin. God never ignores even one sin, not even one sin that you may consider a little sin. You know about the Assyrians from history. The Assyrians were a mighty nation north of Israel, and they came down, and they destroyed Israel, and they brutalized the Jews. The Babylonians later did the same thing, and they came out of antiquity and destroyed the Jewish people. The Egyptians later oppressed the Jewish people and enslaved them, and you know the story of Moses. The Persians, who exiled the Hebrews out of their beloved land, were also guilty. And then there were the Greeks, you know, Alexander the Great, how they destroyed the Jews. And then came the Romans, who crucified our Lord and slaughtered the prophets. And every Gentile nation will be put on trial during that tribulation period that is known as the trial that goes on in the Valley of Jehoshaphat that Joel talks about in Joel chapter 3. I want you to notice the second verse. Maybe you would like to read aloud together with me. I will gather all nations and bring them down to the Valley of Jehoshaphat. And there I will put them on trial for what they did to my inheritance, my people Israel, because they scattered my people among the nations and they divided up my land. For 2,000 years, the Jews never lived in Israel, at least as a distinct people. And Satan saw to it that the Jewish people were scattered all over the face of the earth. And yet today, that is the situation. But the Jews have been gathering back into the land of Israel. Now, the Valley of Jehoshaphat, again, is known as the Kidron Valley today. And if you would look on a map, you can find the Kidron Valley. And if you go with me to Israel in June, I'll show you the Kidron Valley. And maybe you would like to go. But if you remember, looking from that picture that I just showed you in your bulletin, you can see the Kidron Valley there. But what you see in that picture also are the sealed up gates known as the Eastern Gates. And we saw the graves of the Muslims because, again, if you look at the picture, there are graves, thousands and thousands and thousands of concrete graves all up the side of the valley wall that go clear up to the Eastern Gate. And the reason that those graves are there is because those who are Muslims believe that God will not come back through the Eastern Gate as he prophesied, because it says in the scripture that he does not tread among the dead. And so they believe they can stop Jesus from coming by putting their graves there. And there are thousands and thousands of graves there. And if you look at the picture very carefully, you may be able to notice that. This valley is also known as the Valley of Decision, which is what Jehoshaphat means. Since the time of Abraham and until today, 4,000 years now, the nations of the world have displaced and brutalized God's beloved Israel. But this tribunal of Jesus that is coming, justice is going to be meted out upon these Gentile people of history who have done this terrible thing to God's people. And delivery has come down from heaven because Jesus himself comes down and he will rescue his own, even those who have been unfaithful to him. Now, who will escape this awesome judgment? Those who have put their faith in the Savior's blood, it is them. Those who looked upon the sacrifice of God at the cross and accepted the payment that God made for our sins, those people will not suffer this judgment. The children of God will escape this judgment through the new birth. Now, in verses 3 through 6 of Joel chapter 3 that we're considering, the indictment is read at the court. And these enemies of God, of his people, very much like the Philistines of old, and he points out the Philistines as an example of these nations. Well, what they did, they prostituted little Jewish boys and little Jewish girls. And they stole the riches of God's temple. And they spent it on things like the Colosseum in Rome. And those of you who went to Rome with me this year, you remember going through the Colosseum. That Colosseum was paid for by the gold and silver that was stolen by the Romans from the Jewish temple. It stands even today as evidence against these Gentile haters of God's people. Do you see here the Lord of Israel coming upon them in judgment? Do you see that in Joel chapter 3? He's rescuing his children, Israel, his beloved. And Jesus has a rescue for you too in this day. Trust on his work on the cross, what he has done for you, and you will not be prosecuted. Believe that he died for you and accept his free gift of eternal life. That is your rescue in this day. I want to go on and read the scripture, however, and again, maybe you'll help me because we're going to go on to verse 7. And I think we're going to go on to verse 7. Oh, yeah, we are. Read with me. You sent my people to that faraway place, but I will bring them back. I will have what you did, and I will sell your sons and daughters to the people of Judah, which is Israel. And then they will sell them to the faraway Sabians. Now, who are the Sabians? The Sabians today, that country is approximately where Yemen is today. And this is what the Lord said. Announce this among the nations. Prepare for that what? Wake up the strong men and let the men of war come near and let them come up. Then he goes on in the next one and he says, beat your plows into swords. Now, you probably know it the other way around. Have you heard where it says in the Bible that you beat your swords into plows? Well, he's talking about the millennium then. This is a whole different time. And this is the reverse of that. And he says to these people, this army that's coming down from the north, oh, you want to fight? Well, beat your agricultural things into military equipment and get as strong as you can get because here I am and you will fight me, not Israel. That's what he's really saying. Beat your plows into swords. Make spears from your pruning hooks. Let the weak man say, I am a strong soldier. In other words, the weakest of your people that come down to destroy Israel one more time, and you've done it many times. Get as strong as you can get. Make the even the weakest as strong as you can make them, because I'm going to be the I'm going to be David, and you get to play Goliath. And guess how it's going to turn out? And that's what he's really saying. Let them say, I am a strong soldier, and all you nations, hurry, hurry, come on, get together, fight me, get ready. Come together in that place. Enemy commander, bring your strong soldiers with you. And then the next verse, verse 12, says, wake up, nations. Come to the Jehoshaphat Valley, the Valley of Decision. And by the way, that's not a place where the people get to decide. This is a place where God's going to do all the deciding. Come to the Jehoshaphat Valley, and there I will set to judge all the surrounding nations. Bring the sickle, because the harvest is ripe. Come, walk on the grapes of wrath, because the winepress is full. The barrels will be full and spilling over, because their evil is great. You think about history, how much the Jews have been punished and punished and punished and punished by all these various nations. And God says, your sins are full like a wine press. There are many, many people in the Valley of Decision. The day of the Lord is near in the Valley of Decision. And so Jesus is going to be the judge. He's going to rescue Israel. And then Joel turns in chapter 3, verses 15 through 17, to the fulfillment of Jesus of the promise of Israel that they are going to be secure in Beulah land. By the way, have you ever heard that name, Beulah? It's the land of Israel. It means marriage. God marries them. God loves them. He never gives up on Israel. And as a lover of little chicks, Jesus will gather all the Jews on the planet and gently place them back in their place of refuge called the land of Israel. And not only will Jesus, the only judge, rescue his beloved Israel, but he will fight for them as well as commander in chief. But not only will he be David and they be Goliath, but he will reestablish them in the land just like he promised in Genesis 12, Genesis 15, Genesis 17, Genesis 22. Over and over and over again, God says, I'm going to give you this land forever. And God does exactly this in this valley. And then he says, Jerusalem shall again be holy. And their enemies will never enter the Holy Land ever again. I want you to see verse 15 of the same chapter. And it's important because Jesus quoted this passage. He says, Joel chapter 3, the sun and the moon will become dark and the stars will stop shining. In other words, when is this going to happen? And the Lord will shout from Zion, and he will shout from Jerusalem, and the sky and the earth will shake. But the Lord God will be a safe place for his people, a refuge. And he will be a place of safety for the people of Israel. And then you will know that I am the Lord your God, that I live on Zion, my holy mountain. Jerusalem will become holy. Strangers will never pass through this city again. All this history, this terrible history that the Jews have suffered, it's going to end that day when Jesus comes. Joel means what he says, and he sees this, and the Lord has revealed it to him. And when the disciples asked Jesus, you remember the disciples were walking along with Jesus, and Jesus was explaining this very passage to them. And they said, well, Lord, when will be your return? And what will be the sign of your coming? Now, this is from Matthew chapter 24. And this is the very Old Testament passage that Jesus turns to explain to them what it's going to be like when he returns back to earth. In the tribulation period, after we have been taken up to be with Jesus, the end will come. Darkness will envelop the earth. Earthquakes will erupt everywhere. Now, I know that there are earthquakes from time to time on the earth, And people often say, well, here's a sign of the Lord's coming. This is not the sign of the Lord's coming. When the Lord comes, we will have been raptured off the earth. And the earthquakes that he talks about are pervasive and everywhere on the earth. And that will be Jesus coming literally to earth when those earthquakes happen. And the earth, never again will the enemies, the Gentiles against God's people, never will they invade that land again. Why? Because the Lord God himself, Jesus Christ, is going to rescue Israel once and for all. And the Lord offers you rescue today. Come to him. You know, in the book of Psalm, chapter 46, verse 10, he says this, those of you who are suffering, those of you who are filled with anxiety, those of you who think the world is going to hell in a handbasket, and surely it is, those of you who are nervous about all this, remember what God says, be still and know that I am God. If you do, you're going to witness the power of God's might and rescue in your life. We are strong. But we are only strong because we are little cub bears with a massive mama bear right behind us. Jesus the Christ. We sing about being strong. When we are weak, we're strong, and that's true. We sang it just a few moments ago, and we're going to sing it again in just a moment. But I invite you to trust Jesus, because this very same one who is going to come back during the tribulation period and set up a tribunal on the earth in the valley of Kidron, this same Jesus is the one who died for you, who loves you, who will redeem you and save you from all your problems. It is he who loves you. And it is our weakness when we decide that we're not going to be Jesus anymore. We are not going to play God anymore. We are going to trust him to save us, like Joshua did in Jericho. And just like Israel is going to do when Jesus comes back. And in this explanation of chapter 3. So I invite you this morning to come to this Jesus. You know, what Joel talks about is what happens to Israel. But the New Testament talks about this very same Jesus, what he does for us in this day. Come to him. He is your hope. He is my hope. And when I am weak, I am strong. Because I decide I'm not going to fight it. I'm going to let him fight it. He will save me. He alone. We're going to sing, and Paulette, will you come and do that again? Let the weak say I'm strong, let the poor say I'm rich, let the blind say I can see. And we're going to use the same video that we used just before the sermon. Let's stand and sing it together. Sing it to the Lord. I invite you to come to the Lord Jesus, this same one. Vile and sinful, even when we're wayward like Israel, we know you're going to come to the rescue and you're going to take us home. May you bless your people today, and for those in need, Lord, may you meet their very need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.